Well, welcome back. My name is Sid Alinek, and you are listening to the Stones and Bones podcast. And tonight's episode is actually something truly fascinating in the sense that this item has, it's totally out of the ordinary. I mean, especially when archaeologists were looking at this and scientists were looking at this find, they couldn't tie really too much to the object because there wasn't any reference to where this object came from, how it was designed, who designed it, and things of that nature, and why it was actually found in the place it was found. And tonight's episode, we are actually talking about the Nebris Sky Disk. And if you guys don't know what this is truly going to be a fascinating podcast, especially for myself. And I was sitting there for a while trying to find a good topic to come back on and do a podcast about, and this one stood out. And especially for being a strange artifact, and especially some of the weird stories behind it, and especially how it came to be. And the way that this item came to be, and especially it being controversial. And it was controversial in the sense that there was jail time done for this. There was a lot of skeptics, especially around the Nebris Sky Disk. And just how this art piece was made, it especially astounded scholars. It especially astounded many people who study archaeology, history, and things of that nature. And now there's a couple names that it actually goes by. I actually found it by searching Nebris Star Disk, but it's actually formally known, especially on Wikipedia and all these other websites, calling it the Nebris Sky Disk. And the item was controversial in nature from the date of its find. And this is actually, it was found in 1999, I believe. The Nebris Sky Disk is a bronze disk of 30 centimeters in diameter. The disk was also weighs in about 4.85 pounds. The disk is, well, imagine having this thing next to especially a steering wheel in your car. This is actually, I believe it's actually a little smaller than the average steering wheel. And this disc is, it's really, 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 really cool to look at as well. And it has green patina and is inlaid with gold symbols. Now, if you guys are watching me as well, you guys know that I'm reading off of notes, and there's just no way to do this right now without any notes because there is so much information on this, and I want to make sure I get it right. Especially because I want to do a two-part, three-part series on this starting today. So you guys will get this episode, and then we'll go into some of the details behind it, some of what was the designs mean and how they're significant to the planets and the stars and things of that nature. And also how this predates a lot of history. Now, these golden symbols are believed to be a depiction of our solar system, picturing the sun or full moon, a lunar crescent, and of course the stars inlaid. And this, now in a second episode, I actually want to get into what the stars mean, why there was a boat at the bottom of this disc, and I'll show that image now. And they believe this to be actually tied into how the Egyptians saw Ra, because when, if you look into Egyptology especially, now Ra was the most profound deity. I mean, he was the deity, he was the god to the Egyptians, and he was the most important god. And the story goes, especially with Ra, was that he would sail away on a boat. So basically the sun would be in a boat because Ra represented the sun. And he would, I forgot how the story went, but he would like sail away, and then this would allow birth, new birth anyways. So Ra would be born, basically reincarnated or reborn. And the Nebris, now this is depicted actually, especially in hieroglyphs. And when you're looking at the Nebris Sky Disk, they actually have somewhat of a depiction of that. But the thing about this disk is it predated a lot of history, and we'll get into that. So the disk was discovered in Germany in 1999 by Henry Westphal and Mario Renner, two treasure hunters. The two men were using metal detectors when they came across the site. The thing was that, especially when they went to the dig, they didn't have any licenses. They didn't have any way to legally go in there and excavate anything. And they're actually using metal detectors. And they went to the site and they found... Now, when they came across what they believed would be like a treasure, they started digging because they had no legal grounds to actually be there or to be doing anything that has to do with archaeology. They had no permit to dig, and especially this was, I believe this is like a state hill they were on. And what they found was, they found a chisel and axe heads, bracelets, and two bronze swords, and of course, the disc. Now, because they were digging illegally, they rushed to get their find out of the ground, but not being cautious and pushing and rushing, they ultimately damaged the disc and the archaeological site. And this was actually, I don't know if this actually had some damage done, but this actually, I believe this actually damaged the disc in a way and damaged the archaeological site. And they, now this, because they pulled it out of there and they didn't have any grounds for it, they didn't alert any archaeologists, they didn't alert anybody, not even the state. And a lot of these scientists were having trouble believing that this was an actual real archaeological find, that this had some sort of significance to the culture, any significance to being an archaeological find. It has nothing to do with archaeology. This is what scientists were believing, that this had no significance at all. And so it was kind of pushed off. But the thing was that this disc wasn't really public knowledge until later in years. Now, they traveled to Cologne, Germany, and sold the disc for 31 German marks, which is about $36,000 in the U.S. Following their original sale, the items were sold and resold numerous times. The price on the black market for the disc, swords, bracelet, chisel, and axe heads started to inflate to around $1 million. Now, by 2001, the disc was public knowledge, and I believe that this is actually because it was being resold and sold, and people, I mean, especially if people are spending that much money on this thing, I mean, you would probably want to gloat about this thing. You especially want to tell your friends. You especially want to be putting this on display in your house, but there's also a sense that you can't really get this secret out. So it's like you spend all this money on it and you have this amazing, amazing artifact, these amazing artifacts, actually. This is actually a big collection that these two men pulled out of the ground, and they were selling this, and they sold it very, very quickly once they got it. And then it was just turned over into hand after hand after hand. And now this was actually one of the things that got the men caught in the first place. Now, this being sold for around $1 million and being public knowledge by 2001, this caught the attention of state archaeologist Dr. Harold Meller. Now, Meller led a sting operation on February 23rd, 2002, with the police to uncover the artifacts in Basel, Switzerland. The items were in possession of a couple who recently listed the items on the black market. They were trying to sell the item for around 700 Deutschmarks, which is German marks. Now, the sting operation led into a full investigation to find the original men who found the items, Henry Westphal and Mario Renner. And you had to imagine that they had to have tracked this thing back through countless buyers. And I'm not sure if the buyers were actually held accountable. I'm not, but I know that it actually is illegal in this place in Germany, which is actually Nebra. I believe that this is actually a real place. So they actually called it Nebra Sky Disc, attributed to the origins of the archaeological dig. And I believe that in that state or in that region, it's illegal to dig illegally, especially, and it's especially illegal to list something of that magnitude on the black market and list anything on the black market. So the police really wanted to find, and the government especially, and the state really wanted to find these men. So I'm not really sure if these people that were buying and selling this were held accountable, but they did track this all the way back to the original men. Now, when arrested, the men took a plea bargain and led the archaeologists to the original site where the items were found. And they trace the bronze on the artifacts were found on the original site as well as an exact match of the soil still attached to the bronze items. The two men sold. So they actually took some pieces of, I'm pretty sure that over a couple of years they had to have got like microscopic pieces from this disc, and were able to track that back to Nebra and track it back to this archaeological dig. So these men actually went and told the state where they dug this up. So they have a plea bargain, and they can actually have a real archaeological dig done there and have actual scientists and people look at this site and see if there's anything else there. I mean, especially a find like this is phenomenal. I'm going to get more into the details of this and more of the history behind it. And it's just a really, really cool find. Now, Renner was sentenced to 10 months in jail. And I want to start off especially with the backstory to this, because if you guys look on, especially if you guys Google this, these two men are listed as the actual people who found the site, who found the disc and found the swords and found the bracelets and the axe heads and things of that nature. So, and his partner, Henry Westphal, was sentenced to 4 months. Now, I don't know why they had varying sentences, why Renner was sentenced to 10 months and Henry Westphal was sentenced to 4 months. Like, I don't know if there was one of them did something a little less sinister than the next, but when the two men appealed their sentences, the state increased the sentence on both of them, and they gave 12 months to Renner, who originally had 10 months prior, and for Westphal they gave him 6 months when he had 4 months in before that. So it's kind of frustrating, especially for those men. But the funny thing was, especially about this whole court ordeal, was that one of the men, now there was a whole thing about this. These leading archaeologists, they were kind of in a conflict because they couldn't really say for sure that this disc was actually an archaeological find and it had any significance. So these scientists and these archaeologists were going on public record and saying that this is a fake, that's a fake, they forged this to make a buck and things of that nature. And it's like these men were on trial for this disc. But the funny thing about this trial was one of the men stood up in his trial in the midst of the courtroom in front of the judge and asked, he said, if this disc is a fake, then why am I on trial for this? And he was actually pleading and begging the judge and the jury to see that this disc and these finds were actually real. And he wanted them to believe that these findings were real, kind of going against his defense. It's like he wanted to go to prison for this, because especially this is a huge find, and he was willing to go to prison for this, and he was willing to go to prison to prove that these discs and this disc and the swords and the bracelets and everything that he found, or that these two men found at the site, were real. So they actually came out and they did a study on this, and they figured out that this disc was real and the other findings were real, and there was other findings related to the disc found in the area at the exact soil level and at the exact depth. So it's just a really, really cool story to get into, and I'm hoping that I do it some justice, especially getting into some of the stories behind it, and especially going through some of the details and how this inlaid with a lot of history. Now, the disc and other artifacts are on display in Germany at the State Museum of Prehistory. The site that the disc was found is at the elevation of 827 feet, known as Central Hill. And this is actually this is actually a big thing to note, because where this was placed, where this disc was placed, along with the other swords, the two swords, the bracelets, the axe head, the chisel, this elevation level was especially significant to how the disc was designed. And I'll get into that, and I believe I might have some of that in here, but if I don't, I will get in that in the next podcast. I'm hoping that this will be a two-part, three-part series on this disc. And there's actually a place, now this is kind of a little off topic, but still kind of on topic. There's actually a place online where they actually reanimated the disc. So it's like, you can buy this disc as a replica, and it's a really cool thing. So that's actually on my list now. So the prehistoric enclosure the disc was found in is situated in a way that the sun seems to set behind the Brocken. The Brocken being the highest peak of northern Germany. Archaeologists believe the disc and the artifacts found with it were buried in a ceremony-like fashion. And the way, now I'll just mention this, because I already mentioned how this was at an elevation of 827 feet. At the highest peak in this part of Germany. Now, the way the disc was designed, there was a sun or a moon. There was a crescent moon. There was actually two golden rings on each side, but one of those rings was lost somewhere. I don't know if somebody took it. I don't know if one of the buyers took that for like a souvenir or something. I don't know if it was lost in somewhere in history when they were using this. But the way that it was designed, this disc basically depicted at the exact angle of where the sun, I believe, would sit on that hill in the summer solstice. And there was no other place in that part of Germany where this disc would depict that lunar event or that solar event. And it's just the way they designed this was they had, now my research so far shows me that they had no idea what this site was used for. They only know that it was buried in a ceremony-like fashion. And they believed that there were ceremonies that took place here at the site. And it's just a really, really strange object. And how they knew how to design this disc in a way that would depict the solar, our solar system, depict the Pleiades. Now, the Pleiades are also on this, and I hope I'm saying that right. I hope I'm actually referencing the right thing I'm thinking about. But it's actually a set of stars in our solar system. And the Pleiades were especially important to farmers, especially important to people practicing in pagan rituals, because these stars, this cluster of stars, would disappear and reappear at a certain time of the year. So when they appeared, it was basically the universe giving these cultures. Now, this is not just Germany. This is not just this associated with this disc. But it would give these cultures, especially people practicing in ceremonies, almost like the permission from either their deities, their gods, or the solar system, rather, the star system, to perform certain rituals. And this star system was depicted on the Nebra Sky Disc. And the cool thing about that is, those cluster of stars was also depicted in Egypt. But this disc might predate Egypt, and I'll get to that in a second. Now, Professor Ernst, now this guy was actually one of the ones, was he took the disc and was trying to date this, was trying to date these items, was trying to find the origins of where the swords came from, and trying to place this in an era, especially being bronze, so it had to have been around the Bronze Age, which was his thinking. And he had to find a way to date this find. And there was really no way he could do it because it was a metal group of items. So it's like you can't carbon date those items. That was his words. You can't carbon date metal. So what he did was, as Professor Ernst Pernica, I hope I say his name right as well, worked on dating and finding the origins of the disc by comparing the swords to Bronze Age swords and comparing the metals with European and Mediterranean metal ores. And metal ores being, I believe he was looking into copper. So copper ore, he was actually trying to find of how they were. So he had to go to basically the origins of Bronze Age copper ore mining sites. I believe that's how it went. So this is the origins and the dating. So Ernst used copper to identify the origins. Copper has a unique fingerprint he could use to identify the origins of the disc by examining copper from the two ancient mining sites. The fingerprints of the copper is attributed to something called lead isotopes, which vary from location to location around the world. So you can actually identify. So if there was a copper mine here in the United States, they can actually identify that this copper was from the United States. If it was from the Mediterranean, they can identify that that was Mediterranean copper, European copper, and things of that nature. Ernst tests and concluded that the metal used to make the disc came from the heart of Europe. Dating the discs was harder than the usual method of carbon dating, so they used a method called associative dating. And they compared the swords found with the disc to other swords in other time periods that they had been successfully carbon dated. And this place that this man was working in was, it's a really, really cool place because they have countless items inside of this facility. And they have things from the Bronze Age, and there's actually like signs in this building pointing to where the Bronze Age items are and all these other eras. And it's a really, really cool place to work into, I'm sure. Now, by comparing the swords, they concluded the dating to be back to 1600 BC. Now, that is the thing I'm going to be getting into, especially with Egypt. And I hope to jump in more of that. And I'm going to mention some of what I found, especially all these archaeologists' finds from my research. Now, making the Nebris sky disk the oldest accurate depiction of the night sky in all history. So this disk being found by two men, and there's like really no other way that these items would have been found at all if it wasn't for two crazy treasure hunters going out there with their metal detectors and shovels and coming across this disc and these swords and the bracelets and the chisel and axe heads, and not knowing that this find predates the Egyptians' depiction of the solar system. Now, this is actually predates, now 1600 BC, making the Nebris sky disk the oldest accurate depiction of the night sky in all history. Now, this is actually predating the Egyptians by 100 years from their images in Egypt. Now, that's a really, really crazy, crazy thing to think about. So, I got all that. Okay, so part two, I am actually researching this still, and I've spent hours on this. And the reason we haven't been, I've been trying to catch up on a lot of my work. I actually have my other podcast I'm trying to catch up on. We just did our longest podcast ever, and I'm editing that. I'm hoping to actually start doing longer podcasts for the Stones Wins podcast, because especially listening and watching the analytics, people watching these videos and listening to the podcast, listen to them all the way through, and they want to learn more about some of these artifacts, and it's a really, really cool thing to watch. So there is actually new information that came out about the Nebris sky disk. There was new actually this year, and I believe it was like maybe 2 months ago or so. But they are now. I didn't click on that link because I didn't want to. I was already hours on hours in on watching videos, reading all of these archaeological papers and things of that nature that has to do with the disc. And now, and especially watching how they were trying to date these and associate these findings with other eras and other cultures. And I was scrolling through, and God knows how many pages I was in, but I came across some new findings, especially with the disc. And I want to include that with the next episode, and I'm going to get more into detail about the designs in the disc, because I didn't cover that. I only want to basically preface the whole series of the history behind the disc, how it came to be, how it came to public knowledge, and then I want to get into how this was used, especially in their ceremonies, if they have any of that. How this was significant and how this is significant to findings today, and especially being the oldest depiction of the solar system, the night sky. It's a really crazy thing to find. That's a crazy thing to look at and study. And I want to do that right and correctly. So going forward, we have another podcast coming out about the Nebra Sky Disc, and I'm hoping I do these relatively close to each other. So hopefully within the next week, you guys will have a podcast, part two about the Nebra Sky Disc. And if I have time, I'm going to be recording. I might mesh those two podcasts into one podcast, making a big podcast, depending on how much findings I find on this Nebra Sky Disc. Now there was a new, now the thing I was getting to was there was a new findings about the dating of the disc. And I didn't even want to get into that yet because it's like I already did all this studying on it. And I want to go off of basically how it was found and their findings back in 2010 when they're doing all these studies on it, and then go from there. So it's going to be a really, really cool series to follow along. So if you guys are out there on Facebook, make sure you search Stones and Bones Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, whatever podcasting platforms you guys have downloaded on your phone, on your computer. If you guys are listening on Alexa out there, make sure you search Stones and Bones Podcast. And if you guys have a podcasting app, most likely the Stones and Bones Podcast is on it. And if you guys are out there listening on the Stones and Bones Podcast platforms, whether that be an Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you may be, make sure you search Stones and Bones Billings on Facebook, Stones and Bones Billings on Instagram, Stones and Bones Billings on YouTube, and stones-bones.com. And if you guys are actually in the Billings area, there is an actual shop. So go check out the shop that is at 701 24th Street West, Billings, Montana. It is connected to the stone, or connected to the Body Works Tattoo and Piercing building. And I will see you guys in the next podcast.